Available at farmnewsnow.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Agriculture through a modern lens. This is the AgriPod with Alice McFarland.
On this episode, computer-based artificial intelligence is offering new insights into animal welfare. A new tool is being developed at the University of Saskatchewan using AI at the abattoir. The University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine, along with the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering, with funding from NSERC Industrial Research, have developed an automated swine welfare assessment system consisting of a digital security camera linked to an AI processor and placed in an abattoir. Dr. Sikbum Ko explains how the cameras record animal movement along the processing line and condense AI models, extract and assess images indicative of animal welfare. The 10th annual Saskatchewan Beef Expo was recently held in Saskatoon. Kirk Steerwalt is a longtime cattle operator and clinician from Leedy, Oklahoma, who's been conducting show clinics for 37 years. He worked with 4-H members on clipping, grooming, and showmanship, and he'll share some tips and tricks that he also talked to his young 4-H'ers about. After the break, Dr. Sikbum Ko.
Digging into the topics that matter to you, the AgriPod with Alice McFarland.
A new tool is being developed by the University of Saskatchewan using artificial intelligence to create an animal assessment tool. With me is Dr. Sikbum Ko. So, Dr. Ko, what prompted the development of this technology?
We are developing an automated system using computer vision to assess the swine welfare by analyzing pea carcasses in Canadian abattoirs. This system identifies lesions serving as welfare indicators to monitor pigs' welfare throughout processing. Led by Dr. Sedon, our collaborator project under the NSERC ILC in swine welfare aims to evaluate carcass-based indicators' effectiveness and automate welfare assessment. Initial findings suggest this approach is very cost-effective and provides insights into on-farm welfare and pre-slaughter handling. These indicators complement existing welfare assessment programs, enhancing animal care. Automated assessment offers producers valuable data for decision-making and supports industry transparency. Utilizing computer vision ensures consistent, unbiased data collection, crucial for monitoring and improving animal welfare standards. Our research contributes to the Canadian pork industry's progress in animal care and meets demand for transparent production practices and welfare reporting.
Tell us about who was involved in the work and how they're contributing to this overall project.
This collaborative effort engages stakeholders from Canadian swine industry and researchers at the University of Saskatchewan, funded by NSERC through its industrial research chair in swine welfare. This chair program, a partnership between the university and 14 industry partners, including pork production boards and genetics companies, receives federal support. Professionals from diverse backgrounds within the university, such as the Western College of Veterinary Medicine and the College of Engineering, collaborate on this project. Farm visits allow for pig tracking and carcass observation at the abattoir. We are actively collecting pig carcass images to train a computer vision system aimed at detecting and tracking carcasses and identifying welfare-related lesions. Animal welfare scientists analyze these images while our computer engineering team develops artificial intelligence models and programming logic based on the collected images.
So how was this equipment developed to monitor lesions?
The equipment required comprised a digital security camera and an artificial intelligence processor placed in the abattoir. The camera records pigs moving along the processing line after scalding and dehairing, with footage sent to the AI processor. Condensed AI models extract relevant images, focusing on dorsal and lateral views of pig carcasses. By integrating various models into a unified software package, we select suitable images for welfare analysis. pinpointing areas like tail, flank, and shoulder. AI detects conditions such as hernias and tail biting with programming logic, calculating welfare indicators. Our goal is autonomous detection of lesions, categorizing them by type and severity and generating individual lesion reports that will produce the reports for both abattoirs and farms showing lesion prevalence in pig shipments. Collaborating with researchers at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine, we cross-reference carcass information with on-farm welfare assessments. Establishing a correlation could extend our system to assess on-farm animal care, offering insights into pre-slaughter handling and management practices.
What are we seeing in terms of progress in the ability of the technology to assess or score these lesions, and what are the factors that influence that ability?
Regarding the technology's capability to evaluate lesions, we are witnessing increasing progress. The AI models are displaying improved accuracy in identifying and categorizing lesions on pig carcasses, yet several factors impact this ability. Firstly, the quality and quantity of data utilized for training significantly influence performance. A diverse data set with ample images representing various lesion types and severities is crucial for effective training. Secondly, the complexity and appearance of lesions can pose challenges for accurate detection, especially subtle or irregularly shaped ones. Moreover, environmental factors like lighting conditions in the abattoir can affect image quality and consequently lesion detection accuracy. Optimizing camera placement and lighting is essential to ensure clear and consistent images for analysis. These conditions are pivotal for refining the technology's performance in lesion assessment.
Who do you see will be the ones that will mainly use this technology?
The promising advancements made in this endeavor validate the potential scalability of this technology for widespread commercial implementation, facilitating objective and measurable data collection in animal welfare assessment. Initially, producers can utilize it to effortlessly gather information on their pigs during slaughter, offering retrospective insights into on-farm welfare and the foundation for welfare enhancement, thus potentially boosting economic returns through reduced carcass contaminations and cutouts. Moreover, abattoirs can employ the tool to monitor their own pre-slaughter handling assessments. Additionally, pork organizations can leverage its data to benchmark farms nationwide, fostering continuous improvement efforts. Furthermore, there's a potential to develop a premium scheme for producers meeting welfare targets aligning with both Canadian quality assurance standards and international trade agreement requirements. This multiple application underscores the technology's significance in enhancing welfare standards and industry practices on various fronts.
And what do you see as the prime benefit of the technology?
This technology brings multiple benefits. I have four here today. First, improved animal welfare. Automated assessments of pig carcasses identify lesions indicative of welfare issues such as pig-to-pig aggression or tail biting, prompting on-farm management adjustments for better pig care during pre-slaughter handling. Number two is enhanced industry practice. It provides insights into swine industry welfare conditions, aiding producers and abattoirs in pinpointing areas for improvement and ensuring compliance with standards. Third one is cost-effective monitoring. Automated assessment reduces the labor and time cost, while early detection of welfare issues prevents potential losses from carcass contaminations. The last one is data-driven decision-making. Comprehensive reports on lesion prevalence and the severity enable informed decision-making, optimizing production processes and resource allocation for maximum efficiency.
Obviously, the work is continuing, but do you have any expectations as when it might be available for application?
In our ongoing research collaboration, our main focus is refining our models to ensure they deliver precise results and developing a functional tool to automate animal welfare assessment from carcasses. We are also committed to conducting through scientific inquiries to uncover the valuable insights this technology offers regarding animal welfare, both on farms and during pre-slaughter handling. Once we've met our optimization targets and confirmed the tool's effectiveness, our plan is to share our findings with the industry. We aim to provide decision makers with the necessary information to consider integrating this tool into their operations. We foresee that after meeting industry standards and finalizing the technology's development, it could be ready for implementation on farms.
Dr. Seekbom Ko is a professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at the University of Saskatchewan. After the break, clinician Kirk Steerwalt.
Digging into the topics that matter to you, The AgriPod with Alice McFarlane.
Kirk Steerwalt is a longtime cattle operator and clinician from Leedy, Oklahoma, and it was working with 4-H members on clipping, grooming, and showmanship at the recent Saskatchewan Beef Expo. Kurt, you've been at this for 37 years now. Obviously, it's something that you enjoy a lot.
I'm actually a product of this program. I mean, I showed when I was a kid, and then my kids showed. You know, I got two grandkids. I don't know if they're going to show or not, but anyway, but hope so. But if they do, they do. And I'm just saying they don't, they don't. But I'm something that's dear to my heart and something I've been in all my life.
Now, we hear the term judge, but not necessarily clinician. So what is the difference between the two, and what exactly is a clinician?
You know, basically, you know, you're teaching techniques and you're teaching skills, and then you're also teaching updates. You know, technology's kind of naturally come into this program like everything else, you know, and so things are better and updated, and so a lot of times it can make our job easier and cattle look better, and we can be more competitive. You know, from a judge's standpoint, you know, then you're more into the you know, judging the conformation of the animals and things like that. Yeah, I do both, so anyway, so I'm on both sides of it.
Now, do you believe that a good showman can take an animal to the next level in the show ring?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it gets down to where it isn't the big amount that you do right before the show. It's a little bit that you do consistently along the way. And those cattle that look good and those kids that are able to show them well, I mean, you know, that just doesn't happen. They've trained them and they've worked on them and they've put a lot of time in them. And, you know, obviously you notice it at the show.
Okay, so talk about what you cover at the clinic.
We covered quite a bit. Daily care, what to do on a daily basis, you know, how to take care of the skin and hair, and just management, just protocols from worming and things like that. And then we kind of went into, like, some training and techniques, and then we kind of fell into the clipping part, clippers and blades, and then, you know, parts of the animal and trying to connect the dots, if you will, kind of like, you know, when you were a kid, dot to dot to dot. That's kind of the way clipping is, because you get done with one point, takes you to the next point. Sometimes you're hooking two points together, you know, and so, you know, being able to do that. And then we also went into show day fitting, where you're, you know, actually using some of the grooming products to fit them up, and you know, there's glue and some paint and powder or whatever, some oils to shine them up. You know, these things get treated like royalty. Seriously, you know, they got the life.
You mentioned the technology. Would that be the type of thing that you were discussing, or are there other things that are being used now?
Technology has changed the whole world, not only from, you know, we look at grooming supplies, and then there's clippers, and then feeds, even to haul an animal down the road in a trailer. I've updated those. You know, I had a stock rack, so I'm old school for sure. You know, they'd laugh at me. But it's kind of like the clippers are a lot more user-friendly. They're a lot more easier for young kids to use compared to the old bulky ones we used to have. And then even back and clear up to it, the genetics that these cattle have, selective mating, AIing, embryo transfer, you know, that's all part of the program too. So that's all updates that everybody's doing. And like I said, it's a neat deal. It's a learning experience. You know, I mean, they have a heifer, ends up going in to be a productive cow, and, you know, they learn about, you know, mating that cow and then calving, and then a lot of times it might be next year's show animal. On the steers, end up learning about cutability and market-ready cattle and condition and finish and the rate of gains and trying to get their calf to the optimum weight. How much is it gaining per day. And there's a lot of education with both sides of it going forward. It's just a phenomenal program.
And what else do you work with the young 4-H'ers?
Well, yesterday we did a lot of demonstrations, and it was plenty of sit-down stuff, you know what I mean? But we covered so much content yesterday, and then today it's going to be kind of the hands-on part, so they're going to kind of put it into play, whether it's clipping or grooming and whatnot. We got them all paired off in sections, and that way there's going to be a lot of one-on-one. These kids will have questions, what blades, or how do I do this, or what would you do, or, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a little bit of a guide and direct deal today, one-on-one, so it'll be doing it all day. Plus, we're going to finish up the day with showmanship. You can do all these things right, but you got to get them showed right, too. So there's a lot to that, too. I mean, just your posture, and there's equipment involved that you need to have, you know, show stick or combs and show harnesses and this and that. You need to be presentable coming in the ring. It's something that I feel like we're held at a higher standard coming in the ring, whether you're a judge or whether you're an exhibitor or participant. So we got to look the part. I'm kind of a big fan of that.
Now, people can be watching a lot of different shows. Is there something that you might tell people to look out for that they might not normally look at a show like this?
You know, the thing about it is I think what's fun for a lot of people that come to watch a show, I would suggest that they watch some classes and then try to see if they can't pick the winner in there. It's almost like going to the horse races, right? Kind of see how you do. And you might not even know why you like that one. You know, walk through the barns. If you see a kid and you got a question, I think walk up to them and ask them. I think they would be all about telling you about their animal. That's what they would love to do, and break the barrier and go up there and talk to them. I'm sure they'll tell you all about it. So anyway, and it'll be good.
Thanks a lot, Kirk. Kirk Steerwald is a beef cattle clinician from Leedy, Oklahoma. He was conducting clinics at Saskatchewan Beef Expo, and following the 2 days of clinics, the 4-H members participated in the heifer and or market steer show. Here are the top agriculture stories for the week of April 1st, 2024. The union that represents more than 9,000 CN and CPKC rail workers were organizing a vote to approve strike action. This is raising the prospects of a rail work stoppage as early as late May if several deals are not reached before then. The negotiations and strike vote revolve around 3 collective bargaining contracts that expired on December 31st, 2023, affecting many rail workers. Labor Minister Seamus O'Regan appointed federal mediators for each of these agreements on March 1st upon the request of both CN and CPKC. Avian flu has now been found in 15 dairy herds in 6 U.S. states, the latest being Ohio. Texas has the most confirmed cases at 7 dairy farms. One farm worker in Texas tested positive, but the only symptom was eye inflammation. The widening geographic reach of avian flu cases in dairy is a growing concern. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has said transmission of the disease between cows cannot be ruled out. The Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan has updated the costs resulting from the latest increase in the carbon tax from $65 per ton of CO2 equivalent to $80 per ton. Since 2019, APAS has tracked the cost implications using a per-acre example of wheat production from the farm gate to port position. They calculated a 62 bushel an acre wheat crop in the black soil zone, which would be in the east central region of the province, could incur an additional $7.24 per acre in costs due to the carbon tax this year. APAS estimates the carbon tax will hit $17.31 an acre by the end of the decade. The Canadian Meat Council says incoming changes to the temporary foreign workers program are going to add to the sector's already significant labor challenges. The group, which represents federally licensed meat packers and meat processors and suppliers of goods and services to the meat industry, said the move will challenge the ability of meat processors to fulfill the needs of Canadian consumers. In 2022, the federal government loosened the rules of its temporary foreign worker program workforce solutions roadmap in response to what it called a critical labor shortage. Those temporary measures are now being rolled back, a move that CMC says is hasty and premature. Some experts warn governments will be paying more to support the agriculture industries in the years to come, as climate change makes it harder for farmers to make a living. University of Calgary Associate Professor Guillaume Lemire says that federal and provincial governments are likely to face a growing number of requests for disaster relief funding from the agriculture industry because of severe weather. In the last 3 years alone, more than $1.4 billion in federal and provincial money was paid out to Canadian producers in the form of disaster relief funding. Much of that went to livestock producers in Western Canada who have been suffering through severe drought. A report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture didn't contain too many surprises. Producers surveyed across the United States intend to plant 90 million acres of corn in 2024, down 5% from last year, according to the Prospective Plantings Report. Soybean growers intend to plant 3% more to 86.5 million acres. All wheat planted area for 2024 is estimated to drop 4%. The report provides the first official survey-based estimates of U.S. farmers' 2024 planting intentions. If you like what you've heard, you can rate and review wherever you get your podcasts, tell your friends, and make sure to subscribe to AgriPod with Alice McFarlane for more weekly episodes.
The AgriPod is produced by Colby Heiss, with host and CJVR Agriculture Director Alice McFarlane, and is a division of the Jim Pattison Broadcast Group. Available wherever you find your favorite podcast and at farmnewsnow.com.